I'm John Batchelor. The series of military takeovers in West Africa, what is the pattern? What does it tell us about Africa today? I welcome Ronan Wordsworth of Geopolitical Futures, an analyst, who gives me to understand that this is about French colonial power once upon a time, extending into the 21st century. I note that in late winter of 2023, Emmanuel Macron, the twice-elected president of France, was in West Africa speaking of the future for Paris and these different enterprises in West Africa and along the Sahel, especially the shore of the Sahara. And Mr. Macron said that France would show deep humility and that there will be a, quote, noticeable reduction of military presence. Well, here we are in the coming fall of 2023, and everything's changed. I welcome Ronan to help me understand the scale of this. Ronan, what is Francafrique? What does it refer to before we bury it? Good evening to you.
Thanks, John, and good evening. Yes, Francafrique is an unofficial policy which was adopted by France in the process of their decolonization. So this was their approach to their post-colonial space, and that encompassed a lot of countries in West Africa and a lot of countries in Central Africa. And basically what it did was allow for French government and everything to maintain a level of control over some of the institutions by having favorable leaders in place, having the economic ties with the franc being the official currency, and by having a military presence in the region with military bases and supporting security efforts.
Let's start with the franc. The Paris franc turned into the euro. And there was once upon a time something called the CFA franc, which was an African franc, pegged to the then franc, now pegged to euro. How does it work? The people of West Africa have the CFA franc. Is it convertible to immediately to euros? Does that happen every day?
Yes. So there's 8 countries within the West Africa CFA franc, and there's 6 countries within the Central African CFA franc group. So there's 14 countries in total under this regime. And how it works is the franc is basically guaranteed by Paris to be freely convertible to euros. So the central governments there are able to access euros to buy goods outside the country, etc. However, it does come at a cost. So as part of using this CFA franc, the countries have to maintain 50% of their reserves in the Reserve Bank of France, located in Paris. So with this also comes a limit on the amount of flexibility, etc., that a government can wield in its economic policies, because the normal levers that you would have at play, such as being able to devalue a currency to make your goods more competitive, etc., on the global market, is just not possible at all, because they don't have any control over the exchange rate of the franc to the euro, which is set and pegged at 1-to-1.
What we have then is an advantage for an institution in Paris, the Treasury Department, and we also have the Ministry of Foreign Affairs involved in maintaining the stability of the franc in West Africa. How does this benefit France? You note that they do a great deal of trade with these countries. Is that because of the franc and the convertibility is better to buy from France, or does France maintain tariffs that keep other competitors out?
No, as you say, there's a level of ease of business for the countries to trade with France. So there's a favorable position then for a lot of French businesses to come into the region. And so if you look at the trade volumes, a lot of the countries, actually Paris has a trade surplus with, which would be surprising for countries that export raw materials. And as part of this, basically the franc is used. They can buy French goods, and then France is the number one trade partner for the whole region. Additionally, there's a massive economic benefit for France businesses which are actually located within these countries. So if we look at specifically, say, Niger, which had the coup recently, and they have large uranium deposits, that's mined by a French mining company, Orano. Then we look at, say, Gabon, which also had a coup. They have a large oil reserves, which has been extracted by a French energy giant Total for 40 or 50 years. And so there's like a dichotomy where both the French business interests come in and basically the French industry is able to come and work within the countries and extract the natural resources back to Paris.
Now, I understand this is not just about the franc, although that clearly helps business on both sides in West Africa and Central Africa and Paris. It's also about relationships over many decades with families. You mentioned Gabon, a recent challenge of the leadership there, the Bongo family, B-O-N-G-O, in power, your report, for 56 years. How does it work, the Bongos and Paris? There have been many presidents in the last 56 years. What does that relationship look like?
Yeah, so Ali Bongo was just overthrown after being in power for just over 14 years, and he followed his father, who was in power for 41 years. So as you say, 56 years, this family's been in power. And as part of their political process, they have to maintain some sort of veneer of a functioning democracy, what I would call a faux or pseudo-democracy, where they do hold elections, but these elections are really not free and fair. And if we look at, say, the elections in 2016 in Gabon, most external observers would have said that the Bongo family lost those elections, that Ali Bongo lost those elections specifically. And the people came out into the street to protest once he claimed he won. And the military was then deployed to quell the protests. And actually there was reports of massacre of civilians, peaceful protesters going into opposition strongholds and killing men and women in that were just basically staff within the opposition group. And France kind of just turned a blind eye to this because they don't explicitly support the Bongo family in doing this, but they also don't want to rupture the ties that they have to this family that has been very, very pro-French for a long time. And we see this is repeated across the region in a lot of other cases. So, for instance, the Cameroonian president, his name is Paul Biya. He has been in power for 41 years and he's 91 years old. And he spends most of the year in a hospital in Switzerland, just getting treatment for medical issues and then just staying in his villa there. So he's not really effectively running the country. But the French are still allowing him to stay in his position of power by not really putting any pressure on any actual diplomatic growth or change within the countries. And I think this has come about because of a long history of a lack of institution building in the French colonial space. So these long-term dictators have basically been tolerated because they have been pro-French. And I think we're seeing a bit of a reckoning to that now. So, for instance, as I said, Cameroon, we've got the Republic of the Congo, we've got Togo, we've got Equatorial Guinea, which was a Spanish colony but is now part of the franc zone and is drawn into the French sphere of influence. All of these countries have had leaders that have been in power for a long, long time and pretend that they have some sort of level of functional democracy, but they really do not, and there's no punishment for or no sort of ostracization that we see in some of the other countries when there's not a legitimate elections.
This is a revelation to me, Ronan, so I will ask a straightforward question. France cannot be ignorant of this pretense of democracy. Has it ever been commented upon in French elections? There have been many presidents of France over the last 56 years or 44 years. Is it an issue in Paris at election time?
It hasn't really been an issue internally within Paris. We've seen, for instance, Sarkozy in the last 7-8 years, he came out and said that France had made a lot of mistakes with the African countries in their sphere of influence. We've seen Macron say that France really needs a reset of relations with their post-colonial space on a much more even territory. However, the actions would belie that potentially. There's still the support for friendly regimes. So just to go back to the Bongo family, obviously there was a coup there just over a month ago, and the military junta that came into power had some kind of close ties to the Bongo family, and have decided that they're going to continue the relationship with France. And the response from Paris has been much more muted, much more tepid compared to their response to the coup in Niger, which happened just a month earlier, and France was threatening to support any military intervention. They refused to recall their ambassador. They refused to recall their armed forces from the military base there, and completely refused to recognize the military regime that overtook the government there.
We're looking at a number of countries that, as of yet, have not had military coups, but certainly they would now be in train for similar conduct. For example, an 81-year-old in Equatorial Guinea you've mentioned, but a 79-year-old in the Republic of Congo in power for 39 years, a vital country for Central Africa, not Sahel anymore. And we're also looking at Togo. We're looking at a huge number of countries here organized not in the basis of their region, but in their relationship to Paris. This is a puzzle right up until you mentioned Niger. Niger's most recent upset, as I understand it, started out as a dispute between the presidential guard and the elected president Bassoum, who then barricaded himself. But many weeks on now, there's a military leadership there. The United States was alarmed enough for a very prominent Deputy Secretary of State, Victoria Nuland, to race to Niger within the hours after the original upset and be disappointed, wasn't given a meeting with the junta or whatever was leading the army at the time. Now, Niger is obliging France to leave. The French soldiers are said to be departing in some fashion. There's a great deal of tension. And at the same time, the U.S. still has a drone base in Niger. Is this something new? Are we stumbling into a new protocol where the military is taking control suddenly and the French are being booted out? Has that happened before?
Yes, it has happened before. So if we look at Niger's neighbors in Mali and Burkina Faso, both of those countries have had coups since 2021 and then kicked out the French security missions from there. So there was Operation Barkhane, which was to stabilize the Sahel region. And they removed the French troops from their country just in the last year. And France had then moved to Chad and to Niger to reinforce those bases and had just shifted the troops there. And so now with Niger being like another domino falling, it becomes a much more precarious situation for them. And I think, as you rightly point out, there is US bases also in Niger, the drone base and another base. However, they have not been anywhere near as forceful in their rhetoric against the new regime.
Right.
I think in part because of the importance of these bases and the fact that it would really damage the AFRICOM U.S. operation to lose them.
I'm speaking to Ronan Wordsworth of Geopolitical Futures, a subscription site I highly recommend. Ronan helps me understand Africa, and right now there is a new player. If this was an opera, the music suddenly would turn extremely dark. When we come back, the Wagner Group. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.